Well, I'm thankful to the Lord for providing me this opportunity to be able to bring the message and to be able to fellowship with the family of Cap Rock Church. I'm excited to be here and thankful to my brother, Pastor Francis, for inviting me. In regards to thankfulness, you know, I look at my life and there have been many moments where I have taken for granted the blessings that God has given me.
Yes, sir.
And so the text that we'll be at this morning will be from the book of Philemon. And so if you have your Bibles, let's please open up to the book of Philemon. It's in the New Testament. It's after the book of Titus, and it's before Hebrews. This is a very short book. If you miss one page, you can miss the whole book. But if you're able to get to the book of Philemon, will be in verses 1 to 7 today. I'll be reading from the New English Translation today. And so if you have your Bibles, please follow along with me. If you're able to, let us stand and honor the Lord as we read his word. Philemon chapter 1. This is what the word of God says. From Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-laborer, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, verse 5, because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that the faith you share with us may deepen your understanding of every blessing that belongs to you in Christ. I've had great joy and encouragement because of your love, for the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we humble ourselves before your presence, and we just give you the glory and the honor and the praise, God, and we acknowledge, Lord, that you are the one and only true God, and there is none like you. We thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come together as a body, to be able to fellowship and to be able to study your word. Lord, I ask, God, that you would use me as a vessel, as an instrument, and that you would speak through me, and that the people in this room, Lord, that they would be encouraged. Help us to see your face today. Help us to hear your voice. Let these words not be my own, Father, but let them be yours, God.
Yes,
we thank you for this time, and we thank you, Lord, for your love in your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in the powerful name of him that we pray. All of these things, amen. You may be seated. As we have just read these first seven verses, Paul giving his introduction and greetings in this very short book, you know, from face value, it may just seem like a simple greeting. But if we stop and take a moment to really read what the Apostle Paul is saying in the introduction and in the greetings of these first seven verses in the book of Philemon, we'll be able to see that there are valuable lessons to learn on being thankful and on being an encourager. But before I begin with the text and move on, I just want to give a background to the book of Philemon, so that we have, as an audience, a better understanding of where Philemon is, where Paul is writing this book from.
Yes, sir.
And so from what we know from these verses, we know that Paul is writing this book while he is in prison. Mm-hmm. In verse 1, it says, from Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And it's interesting because in all of the letters that Paul writes from, this is the only letter where he identifies himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that lets us know many things. One, he's running while he's in prison. And two, he has sacrificed his life to a point where he is being captive for the work that he's doing for Jesus Christ. And that means a lot. But here in the United States, we really don't see the freedom that we have in worshiping our Lord, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't see how other believers across the many nations are being persecuted for the same belief that we have. And so it should be a reminder to us when we read things like, from Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And Sister Shirley, thank you for your encouragement with your song. And it's true that we should be thankful for who we are in Christ and the freedom that we have. And we must be reminded that with what Ms. Shirley said earlier, with the things that are going on in the United States, the changes in policies and the laws and all these things that are happening with Christians being more persecuted every day, it may not be long. Maybe a few more years, maybe not in our lifetime, but it seems that the United States is moving towards Christians being persecuted for their beliefs. Yes, sir. And we have to be aware of that. But at the same time, we shouldn't let that be a shock or surprise to us. For God's word is true, and we see in God's word what the many writers tell us, that we're to expect persecution in the days to follow as we come closer to the end of days when Christ returns. And so today's lesson, if I were to have a title, it would be A Thankful Encourager. Because I believe what we have in these seven verses is that Paul encouraging us. And before we go there, this book is written by Paul and his disciple, Timothy. And he's writing to a person named Philemon, to which the book is named after. It says, continuing in verse 1, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-laborer, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house. What we also know is that Paul is, while he is addressing the people that he's mentioned, his primary audience is Philemon. And so the purpose of this book is found in verse 10 to 11. If you look down in verse 10, it says, I am appealing to you concerning my child, whose spiritual father I have become during my imprisonment, that is Onesimus, one who was formerly useless to you but is now useful to you and to me. And so Paul is writing this letter addressing Philemon and these other individuals and to the church. And his purpose for writing is, this is a letter of appeal for this person named Onesimus. Now, Pastor Francis, while he is on his preaching sabbatical, he has invited me to preach not only today, but also next Sunday as well. And so I hope I don't bore you and you're like, oh man, I'm not going to come next Sunday. But my point with this is, Philemon is a short book, and so I've broken down this book into two sermons. Today we'll be covering verses 1 to 7, and next week we'll be covering the rest of the book. And I don't want to overlap. And so let us continue again with verses 1 through 7. Remember, my title is A Thankful Encourager. A Thankful Encourager. Let's look at verse 4. This is what it says. I always thank my God. I always thank my God. Now, earlier I said, at face value, it may not seem much, a simple sentence or phrase like that, right? I always thank my God. But we have to remember that Paul, as I mentioned, he's writing from prison. How many of us have been in prison? Don't raise your hands. But it makes me think of my times in the military. I remember the first 3 months in the military, I was in boot camp. And if any of you here is a veteran, you know what I'm talking about. The time that you spend in boot camp. While I was not in prison, boot camp felt like a prison. And I just want to tell you, in my 3 months that I spent in boot camp, like Paul writing this letter to his friends, to the church family, I wrote letters as well to my family. And here Paul is writing words of encouragement. Well, in my letters, while in boot camp, they weren't words of encouragement. They were kind of like, Dad, life is miserable here. Dad, I'm suffering. We have to run every day. So it really was a letter of complaint to my family members. And my point with this is that we have to learn to be thankful in any and every circumstance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so if you're taking notes, part of the bulletin, there's an outline. And the first point is we have to be able to come to a point where we learn to be thankful in any and every circumstance. Earlier I mentioned, as I reflect on my own life and I look and see the many situations or times in my life where I have taken for granted the blessings that God has given me. In those moments, I was not thankful for the blessings that God gives me. I remember one particular time I was working a job and going to Bible college at the same time. And this particular job, the people that I worked around, I was a security officer. Being from the military, you know, it's easy to get security jobs, you know. And no one likes security officers, you know. So one is kind of like, man, I'm a security officer. Nobody likes me. So I kind of have that kind of attitude already, right? And then everyone, the company I worked for, everyone seemed to be making a lot of money, right? You know, it's easy to say, hey, materialistically, that doesn't matter to me. But the reality is, to some extent, materialism is a part of all of our lives. And when you see it every day, you start to compare yourself to other people. Like, I'm driving this kind of car. This person's driving that kind of car. I make this much money. These people make this much money. And I remember I became very discouraged, very selfish. This is not something I'm proud of. And I phoned one of my mentors that evening during my break, and I just kind of shared with him and said, you know, Harry, I'm 26 years old. I'm still a freshman in Bible college. You know, these kids, they're 18 years old. Some of them are interns at churches already. I'm doing this job as a security officer. You know, he let me complain for about 5 minutes. And then he stopped. He said, hey, you know, Daryl, you know how my day was today? I said, no. It's like, I just came from a funeral of a young man who was no more than 10 years old. And at that moment, I'm like, wow, you know? Like, here I am standing. I have life. And I'm complaining about not being where I think I should be. And my point with this story is sometimes when we face difficulties in our life, when we're going through whatever kind of suffering it is that we're going through, whether it's job loss or looking for a job and it's been so long and you haven't been able to find a job, or whether it's illness in your own life or the illness of a loved one in your family or your friends, in those moments, we have to not let ourselves become bitter, but we have to look at the blessings that we do have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I see that most of us in this room, we're all breathing, I hope.
Yeah.
That is a blessing in itself.
Oh, yeah.
God gives us the breath of life to live.
Oh, yeah.
Not just to live, but to live for Him.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us here are parents. Many of us here have children. We find blessings in the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And so my challenge to you is, if you're experiencing something in your life right now where you're becoming discouraged, to where you can't really see what's going to happen to you in the near future, whether it's finances or any other thing, Don't let yourself become ungrateful. Because once we become ungrateful, we become bitter. And once we become bitter, we come to a point where everything seems meaningless and everything is hopeless. And the best way to come out of that hole of ungratefulness is to begin thanking God for the blessings He has given you. It reminds me of what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And I never realized that these verses were so simple and so short, but yet so powerful. In verse 16 it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." God does not desire us to walk around feeling sorry for ourselves, to walk around feeling as if He hasn't blessed us with anything. He desires us to be thankful in all things. And so from Scripture, we see an illustration of what thankfulness looks like. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verses 23 to 25. This, again, is a story about Paul and Silas. And if you know this story or are not familiar with the story, this is taking place right after Paul and Silas has cast out the demon from the girl who was able to prophesy. And their masters were not happy anymore. And so they caused a riot. And the conclusion was Paul and Silas ended up being thrown in prison. And this is what it says in verse 23. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, I want to pause there and just want to make sure we get what's happening here, right? Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison. They just got flogged. That means beating. They just received a beating. And then while they're being locked up, chains are being wrapped around their ankles. Now, if that was me, I would not have an ounce of praise or thankfulness to God. But this is what it says in verse 25 about them. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and saying hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were singing hymns to God and praising Him. What an encouragement to us believers, an example to follow, that we must learn to be thankful in any and every circumstance. This leads me to my next point, point number two. We must learn to be encouraged when others grow in their faith. This is what it says in Philemon verses 4 to 5 and 7. It says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." And in verse 7 it says, "I have had great joy and encouragement because of your love, for the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." Remember, Paul is in prison writing this letter. He's a captive. Limited freedom, limited access to the normal things of everyday life. And yet he's writing in such a way that is and should be a challenge to us as believers as we read the words. "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints." We must learn to be encouraged when others grow in their faith. You know, sometimes I think that believers can be the worst kind of people. And I'm not saying this to discourage anyone here, or I'm not saying this because this is you, but in my observation of things, when I read these words and think of the phrase, we must learn to be encouraged when others grow in their faith, it makes me think of, you know, the student who is the teacher's pet or the favorite student. All of us have been students, right? We've all gone to grade school, elementary, high school, and college. And so you guys know what I'm talking about. There's that one student who always seems to be the teacher's pet, right? Because, and why is that person the teacher's pet? Because they do what the teacher requires them to do. Because they listen, because they're obedient, for the most part, right? There are some, you know, who have motives, but for the most part, people become the teacher's favorite because they're able to do various things that the teacher requires them to. And so the teacher treats them more favorably. And for everyone else who's not a teacher's pet, we start saying things like, oh, there goes Jimmy again, you know, sucking up to the teacher. Or there goes, you know, Jimmy again, you know, the teacher let him do this or that. And so my point with this is sometimes as believers, when we see others grow in their faith, for example, if my brother Paul in the back, thank you for coming and supporting me today. Say Paul and I are new believers, and Paul's like, hey, I want to start a prayer in my home so we can come and pray together. Well, you know what happens when that usually happens? Other believers, after a few months, they're like, why do we always come to Paul's house to pray? Why can't we go to someone else's house? And what they usually mean is my house, right? It's like, well, Paul was growing in his faith, and he wanted to have a time of prayer. And that's why we're at Paul's house. He opened his house to all of us to come pray. And we see believers growing in their faith, but sometimes we become critical of people growing in their faith. And it's for two reasons, I think. One, we're envious.
Yes, sir. Say that.
Because when people become faithful to the Lord and when they grow in their faith, they start taking the initiative to do things that allows God to use them. And so we become envious. And two, because we're not growing in our faith. It's kind of like your family member who, or your friend who becomes successful, you start getting bitter and jealous, right? But brothers and sisters, we must learn to be encouraged when others grow in their faith. Here Paul is saying something so simple. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. In verse 7, I have had great joy and encouragement because of your love, for the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. We have to come to a point where we learn how to be encouraged when we see other brothers and sisters growing in their faith. And the reality is, because of our sinful nature, there will be moments where we're envious. But let that not prevent you from you growing in your faith as well. This leads me to my third and final point. We must learn to pray for others that their faith would deepen, allowing them to understand every blessing from Christ. In verse 6, it reads this. It says, I pray that the faith you share with us may deepen your understanding of every blessing that belongs to you in Christ. When I was praying over what the Lord was leading me to, in what message I should bring to the family of Cap Rock, I was studying this book, Philemon, and it never really occurred to me how powerful this verse is in verse 6. And so I want to read it again. Because I think sometimes when we read the Bible, we just kind of read it, you know, and we kind of check off the list. I read my scriptures for today. And we don't really take a moment to reflect. But this is a verse that I want us to take a moment to reflect on. And so this is what it says again in verse 6. I pray that the faith you share with us may deepen your understanding of every blessing that belongs to you in Christ. Here Paul is making a statement. And this statement is a simple one. He's saying that he desires to see other believers not just grow in their faith, but that their faith would deepen so that they would understand the blessings that they have in Christ. You know, I think sometimes believers, we walk around in the everyday life that we have, and all that takes place in the worrying and the trying to figure out what my next step is, we forget that God desires us to grow in Him. And when we forget that God desires us to grow in Him, our faith no longer is deepened. And when our faith is not deepened, we don't see the blessings
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That we have in Christ. But before we can even begin to pray for others, as believers, I hope we all understand that our relationship with the Lord requires that we do certain things. So if you look at your relationship with your spouse, those of you who are married, or your relationship with your best friend or your mom and your dad, if you were to stop communicating to them, would you have a good relationship? You wouldn't. I wouldn't. I remember when my wife and I, prior to us dating, or not dating, prior to us getting married while we were in the courting phase, we used to talk and text all the time, communicate. And she used to always want to fall asleep over the phone, you know, and it was, I'm trying not to embarrass her right now, but it got to a point where, like, she would call me at night, and we'd be talking. She'd eventually fall asleep, and I'd hang up, and she'd call right back. It's like, why'd you hang up? It's like, you've been sleeping. And my point of this story is relationships require communication.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For believers, our communication to God is prayer.
Amen.
And so if we don't have a time that we're setting aside every day to pray, we can't expect that we're going to be praying for other believers to grow in their faith, that they will be deepened in the faith to understand every blessing that they have in Christ. We must learn to pray for others that their faith would deepen, allowing them to understand every blessing from Christ. This makes me think of Jesus' prayer. Some of you may be familiar with this. This is found in John chapter 17. It's also known as Jesus praying for all the believers. So if you want to, you can turn with me real quick to John 17, verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. You know, we often don't recognize that our ability to be thankful and joyful in Christ has an effect on others.
Yes,
we often don't realize that our ability to be thankful and joyful has an effect on others. Earlier we read in Acts about Paul and Silas being thrown in prison. And even in their imprisonments, they were singing praises and songs, worshiping the Lord. And if you know how that story ends, it ends like this. After those events, it says that an earthquake happens. And as the earthquake is happening, all of the jail cells' doors are being opened.
Yes,
and so the guard, thinking that every prisoner has fled away, is about to kill himself. This is in Acts that we read earlier. And as he's about to kill himself, Paul yells out. Paul says, "Don't. Everyone is still here." What's my point with this story? That in the circumstance that Paul and Silas was facing, even in the midst of being beaten and thrown in prison, while they were being faithful in singing praises and giving thanks to the Lord, and through their faithfulness, the prisoners remained. And as the prisoners remained, it allowed Paul and Silas an opportunity to share the gospel. And if you know the story, the prisoner guard hears a message and the hope that is found in Jesus Christ as a Savior, and he receives him. And so while you're in the midst of your suffering and the trials and in the persecution and in your sickness and the job loss and whatever it is, we still have to learn how to give thanks in every and any circumstance, because we don't know the effect that we might have on others in the midst of our joy and thankfulness to God. You know, I praise God because the God that we worship is a personal God.
Come on now.
He sent down his son Jesus Christ to walk amongst us, who lived a perfect life, the only one who will ever live a perfect life. And this is Jesus Christ being the Son of God. He doesn't just command his authority without thinking of us, but his relationship is a personal one. From the text that we read in John 17, 20 to 23, where it says, Jesus prays for believers. That's an amazing concept to grasp and understand, that the Son of God, God himself, he is praying for each and every one of us. That even in the midst of our trials and temptations, we have a God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is, as Brother Francis mentioned earlier, at the right hand of God, interceding for us still. Interceding for us. I don't know what things you guys are going through in your life right now, but I do know that we have a God who loves us.
Yes,
and we have a God who blesses us.
Amen.
And even in the midst of everything that is going on in this world, the chaos in our own lives, whether it's your marriage, your children, that God is still in control.
Yes, he is.
Scripture tells us that he holds all of our lives in the palm of his hands.
Yes, sir.
And we forget those things when we're faced with some kind of complication in our life. But we must remember that God requires us to give thanks and praises in all circumstances. And even as we cannot see God working, he is working behind the scenes in all of our lives. And Paul says this, right? He says that their faith may be deepened, that they would understand every blessing that belongs to them in Christ. The blessings that we have in Christ are eternal. And we forget that sometimes. We forget that the blessings that we have are eternal, because what we see in front of us is what's in front of us. We can't see beyond today or tomorrow. And even as believers, we forget that our lives here on earth are but a moment.
That's right.
That in eternity, God has promised us new bodies.
Amen.
God has promised us a place with him in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That we have been called co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And God is with you in whatever circumstance you're facing right now. Learn to be encouraged when others grow in their faith. Learn to pray for others that their faith would deepen, allowing them to understand every blessing in Christ. And so if you're at a place where you just feel hopeless, I just want to encourage you as we wrap up the message here in a little bit. Spend a few moments thanking God for what he's given you. Understand that he's in control and that he's working in your life, even though we can't see it.
Yes,
and that we have promises that is promised to us in Christ. For those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one who came and died and lived a perfect life, the one who offered himself on the cross so that the price for sin will be paid, while all of us deserve that same punishment that Christ went through, he took it for us.
Yes, he did.
And through his death and resurrection, we too are able to have a new life. If we put our faith and our trust in him. Romans says this, if you believe in your hearts and profess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior, you will be saved.
Amen.
And so if there's anyone in here who's not made that decision today, don't wait. It's not a coincidence that you're here and you've heard this message. God loves you. God desires for you to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are believers, let's be encouraged and not discouraged. Let's be encouragers, not discouragers. Let's be people about God's business, about praying for others that their faith would grow. Let me close.